This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, hey, welcome to Racer Radio, the only motorsports show in San Diego. I'm Dave.
I'm Brittany.
And this is FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. So if you're looking to get your car to go a little faster, maybe get a little better fuel mileage, Stan is the man. Go to stcarb.com for all your carburation needs. And if you have a Porsche, Mini, or BMW, and maybe you're just done with the dealer, well, I've got a great alternative. Black Forest Motorsports, over 40 years experience. Just go to blackforestautomotive.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio. Well, Brittany, you've done it again. You brought in another Cajon Speedway legend.
I have.
Yeah, Mr. Ron Esau, who was just such a star out there. And I know I don't have to ask you, Ron, but I know you miss that track just about as much as anybody else, right?
Oh, definitely miss the Cajon Speedway.
Yeah.
And it was really sad one time. I had a friend of mine drive me up over it with a helicopter.
I know. You can still see it.
The figure eight and the track.
I was flying in from a press event coming in from Arizona, and I'm seeing it, and they're like, oh, look, there's Cajon. There, it's still there. I was just crushed.
Yeah, the weeds are like a different color, but they were still there.
Isn't that weird? That's just like Cajon saying, I'm not gone. I'm not
no,
dead.
No, and it probably elicits a specific memory for any and everybody who sees that.
So how many years did you race out there?
I was off and on down up there. I started, I wasn't old enough to race there, so I started in 1971 up in L.A., and I ran a couple of seasons up there.
Right.
So then I got Rookie of the Year in 73, but I already had two seasons under my belt, so it wasn't really
But
like
you didn't tell anybody.
No, we didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And then in 78, I won the championship out there.
In what division? So people
in the Elkhorn's, it was the Elkhorn Stock Car Racing Association.
That's
back
right.
Then.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went off and ran some NASCAR stuff. I won the championship in 1986 for the first NASCAR Southwest Tour race.
Uh-huh.
70 or 83, I had got Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Winston West and run with John Borneman and those guys.
Yeah.
And, it just didn't have quite enough money to run, compete in that division. Mm-hmm. So I had a sponsor, McDonald's in Riverside, that had four franchises there. And he helped me race Riverside when they closed that track down. I lost the sponsorship there too.
Was it Riverside? I never got to actually drive Riverside. I was a crew chief for a C production sports car. I love that track. And I love to watch it on TV. I mean, if for a spectator track, that was a great track. But to have the honor to drive it, I mean, has to be huge.
Yeah, I actually won the last NASCAR Saturday's race at Riverside.
Really?
Rusty Wallace won the big boy race.
Yeah.
But I actually got to race with the big boys several times at Riverside, and I got a chance to go down to Australia in 1990.
Oh, did you?
88, 89, and 93 times I got to go down there. And it was funny, in Facebook now, like Mike Hagerman, I used to race with him all the time out there at Cajon, and he goes, man, I didn't realize you ran so many places, because I posted different stuff
right
on there.
And well, we didn't have social media back in the day. Nobody, and everything had to either be word of mouth. Bill Centers, if he would write about racing, it was kind of rare. And I have to tell you, I was on KUSI the other day, and Hacksaw Hamilton was talking about Jimmy Johnson his last season, and kept talking, and all of a sudden he goes on to something else. I went, what about Sheldon Creed? I mean, Sheldon Creed just won the 2020 Gander Truck Series out of Alpine, for goodness sake. So San Diego never really was one to, I mean, even Jimmy Johnson, he didn't get a lot of attention right here in town, but the history that you've got you're going to say no, but I'm going to talk to your wife. But I'm going to bring you in again for a whole hour so that we, because if we, to get all of this down on tape is priceless, because you're not going to write a book.
No.
See? Told you. Unless you dictate to Brittany. Yeah, right. Little Miss school teacher over here. But, and it's fun to talk about days gone by. I'd love to do an hour show, another one, with Borneman and you. I would like to have gotten Overman in, but unfortunately, you know, he passed away. And some of the other key drivers, you know, from back in the day. I think I did a show one time. I think you were on it, where I got a who was the one, the wild guy that was always kind of a hothead.
You mean besides Borneman?
Yeah, besides Borneman. What was his name? Hopefully if I go to break, I'll remember. He was, I want to say he was like Italian. Tamborelli.
Tamborelli.
It came to you.
Is that not another, you know, and everybody says, you're not putting all those guys together, are you? I go, oh, yeah, I was just doing a radio show. Go. Turned out to be really good. I think you were on that show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of humble about the racing, but I was walking through the Richard Childress Museum. And this gal recognized me. She used to be on the crew when I was back there running some stuff for Buddy Arrington. And she goes, man, I used to root for you. And you know what? I know Chocolate Myers likes you a lot. He's doing a radio show right now. And he says, just a minute. And then she grabbed me and says, well, in 20 minutes, you're going to be on the radio show.
You are a kid with chocolate?
And I said, oh, really? And I go, well, I'm here with Dave Reed. And Dave Reed, you know, has won a couple championships on the Southwest Tour with Craig Rodman. And
yeah.
And we're just kind of down here hanging out. And he goes, oh, well, bring him on too. So we were there and we talked and Chocolate brought up stuff that I completely forgot about. And we just had a great time back there talking about my NASCAR days back there. And a lot of people here didn't even know about it.
No, well, now there is another good reason why I need to bring you back, because, and it's kind of like, you know, I like watching his show and I like to watch Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s show, because you get the true history of motorsports. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, they don't remember what you guys had to do, especially, and I'll use Cajon Speedway as a perfect example. It was your typical grassroots, down to earth, with an announcer, with Tom McGrath, that knew you, your family, how much money you owed the bank. I mean, the guy knew everything about his people. And I would periodically get honored to sit in for him, which was mind-boggling and just in that in itself. But yeah, so you had some the Ed Hales of the world. I mean, talk about legends.
Oh yeah, I got some stories about Ed too.
Yeah, well, okay, so I have to tell you this one story, because you're going to love this. So Steve Brucker comes up to me and he goes, hey, Dave. I go, yeah. I need you to, I want to bring you on the team. He said, I'd like to hire you. I says, oh, okay. Well, I says, I'm not taking Tom McGrath's place. Are you kidding? I can barely remember my own name, let alone the driver's. He goes, no. I want you to be the head steward and take Charlie's place. Charlie? No, are you? I'll never make it off the property. I'll be buried in a hole somewhere. And for folks that don't know, Charlie was just—he was hard as nails. And he was right down. And even when we were doing the Burn Institute, he was the rules. So I said, no, I'm not. I don't know if you heard that story, but I said, no, I am not taking that job. Would you take that job?
No.
Yeah. He did it even quicker than I did it. But yeah, so, hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line. Well, you've been out to Barona, right?
That's where we met.
Yeah, that's where
okay, we so met. Okay, so we're going to steal the Barona segment. I think Paul Dyke could be okay with that, since he sponsors the Barona Speedway segment right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer. I can hear your voice saying, won't you ever learn?
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Did you know that 80% of their trade-ins are from customers? They don't go to the auction. They send cars to the auction. So if you're looking for a good quality new or used car and a great service department, Dave over there does a phenomenal job. Check out El Cajon Ford at 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon and ElCajonMotors.com. All right, Dirt Dude must be on drawer 37 of his toolbox. He's been, for the last year and a half, he's been organizing his sockets and his open-end wrenches. I don't know if he's ever going to use them, but since he is the announcer at
Verona
Speedway. So we've got a very, very special guest in the house. We got Mr. Ron Esau in the house. He's got his lovely wife, but yes, she's not going to talk.
She's not going anywhere near the microphone.
No, she ripped it out of the stanchion, so we'll have to get engineering in here for the next show, but that's another story. So, Ron, so now you've, you know, Cajon, but now you kind of dabbled up into Verona. What are you doing up at Verona Speedway?
Well, there's a Caden Johnson that runs up there, and so I'm kind of like a fan of his. He got a go-kart and he runs up at Campo, and so I've been over there just like watching him run over there at Verona. And then at Camp Lockett, the dad is so busy working on all the kids' carts, he never gets to run his cart because it always seems to not be warmed up, not ready, right. So I told him the last few races that I'm going to make sure your cart's ready to go so you can have.
That's very, very nice.
Yeah. Have Caden run.
Has he gotten in, as a dad got into his cart yet?
Yeah, he's got into his cart and he actually did pretty good when it didn't fall apart because he actually had somebody like me work on it.
Well, that's because you know. Well, because, and that's a lot of, that's something a lot of other people don't realize is that you also set cars up.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that for a really long time. And didn't you set your own cars up back in the day?
Back in the day, we had to do all our own work. And I think like Davey Allison's a lot better driver than Kyle Petty was because David worked his way up in racing.
We were talking about that off air. Yeah.
Well, let's face it. I mean, and look at the Earnhardt train. Right. You know, Senior, which I have a shrine if you ever want to come over and see it. And you know,
oh my gosh,
he doesn't want to talk about the uniform.
Are you going to bring this on?
We're not going to talk about the uniform.
Listeners, by the way, Dave told me on the side a story, and Ron told me on the side a similar story.
Yeah. And it's in my front room, hanging on the wall in a plastic box.
They bid
wow,
on the
did
same
you pay more
thing,
for it
listeners.
Than you wanted?
I paid a whole lot more. But you know what? In your defense, and this guy with his greasy little pin. Every time I'd put something, he'd bump it.
It was a fundraiser.
But it was for a good cause. It was for Jim, what was his last name?
Watkins,
who's passed away from ALS,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was an experience all on its own. I don't golf. Jim's dad and I were out on a golf course. I said, why are we on this cement? Let's go over here in this grass where it's cut real, real short. So we're driving across the fairway. Balls.
David.
Yeah, so, yeah. But anyway, but that was, it was, I love that story. It was a great, great story. But so Earnhardt, okay, so Junior, he was okay. You know, it was never a great, and then nobody else after that. Davey, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, he started out dirt tracks like Verona, yep. And he started out learning how to drive and learn how to work on the cars. Right. And
Junior never did that.
No.
I don't think Junior ever got his fingernails dirty.
And Kyle either.
Or Kyle either, as far as that goes. Kyle was happier on a motorcycle. So you're out at Verona now, and we're trying to talk them. Wouldn't it be nice if they threw some of the carts out there?
Well, they tried to run the carts out there, but the dirt clods are a little too big for us and knock off the sprockets and stuff.
It's
kind of bumpy, but maybe we can talk them into smoothing out a little bit and get up there.
So Lockett is a dirt track, 8th mile oval, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same kart track back in the day that had those big boulders all the way around it. That was in Campo. Is it the same track?
No, well, this is they.
You know about the one I'm talking about?
No, I don't know about that one. I don't think it's that one. It's next to the pedestrian center. They've been doing some work on the border wall. The people there have put in a bathroom. They've It's actually, we run with the TT Motorcycle Group.
Okay.
To run under their insurance. And I think next week you might be bringing in a friend of mine, Josh Huff, JH Motorsports. And he's been trying to work with Barona, and he's worked with Paris Speedway to
get a series.
Get a little, well, we have to call it an event because of COVID, but
event.
Yeah. A peaceful protest is what they call it.
Yes.
Well, I definitely want to get you guys on KUSI TV, because if you want to get more people not only to attend but to invest in the project, because people don't realize it, racing is not cheap. And I'm not just talking about the race cars. I'm talking about the facility and the permits that you have to have and the medical staff you have to have. And gosh, that'll give Tom something else to do on a on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. I run into him because he lives in Alpine at restaurants all the time, and he is such a crack up. I love him. I think he sold that old fire rescue truck. I think I seen on Facebook that Chevy.
Oh yeah.
I think he sold it to somebody. It was because I seen it on a flatbed going away.
No.
Boy, that was an experience. You ever ride on that thing with him?
No.
Those people are crazy. And that driver he had, I guess his name, I can't remember his name, he'd take off before the wreck. And he would never tell anybody, but they all knew except me. So that's
you got to hang on, huh?
Holy moly.
Well, the reason we met out at Barona was because of the fire crew. They were recognizing Tom Henkel, and they brought out some big wigs of legends that had
and
crossed
Tom
paths.
Is so humble.
Yes. And Ron was one of those that was invited to be a part of that celebration. So that kind of put into perspective where you sit as far as one of the local legends.
It took him a long time to get me here because Dale Durbin's son was racing at Speed Ventures in Las Vegas. For the first time, they ran go-karts there.
Yeah.
I was gone. Oh, no, I'm gone to Paris. Oh, no, I'm
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, every time
gone
I
to Barona,
out a date,
I'm gone here.
And well, so he was like, finally, this is the only thing good that came out of COVID. Is that you don't get to go racing, and we get to have you come in here and have some fun with us on radio. So that's cool. Have you seen this one go drive yet?
No, I haven't.
Hey, you got to check this girl out. Just don't go near the car. Just don't go near the car when she's in there because she'll yell at
you.
She
puts a game face on.
I do
find
hardcore. A game face, yes.
Yeah, and we've decided next year she's not going to run when the moon is up.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
Ron, just tell him to move on.
This is so good. Come on, tell us.
We'll talk about this uniform. How much did you pay for that?
Yeah, right.
No, go ahead.
How much did you overbid?
Tell him.
He wants me to talk once again about the one lap of one race that I ever might have looked up at a beautiful moon coming out of turn two before going into turn three. And I was dumb enough to mention it to my crew chief. And he's still holding it against me. You need to stay focused.
Oh, well, I ran the first race at Fontana Speedway, and it was a Winston West race. It was a day before the Cup guys ran, and I was so amazed on all the palm trees and motorhomes on the back straightaway. I was saying, man, you should see all the beautiful palm trees.
Thank you, Ron.
And my guy that owns the car goes, well, how's the car? I go, oh, this car was an old Darrell Walter car. It drives itself. It's fine, but you got to see all the beautiful stuff on the back straight away.
Oh, thank you for that.
But I didn't crash.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't crash. I just noted the beautiful moon and was dumb enough to mention it.
And they, like,
and I don't think you spoke to me for a couple weeks. And still holds it against me.
I can't be a crew chief like that. Come on. What's up with that? That's not going to work. Yeah, but no, it's there was some great story. Remember when the Bruckers decided to do their first boat race, and they had them out there, and they're dragging these boats around and didn't realize that they impacted the track with fiberglass? And then the next weekend when they raced, first two cars went into turn one, ended up in the fence because they just hit that fiberglass. It was packed into the asphalt. I think that was one of the very few races we had like that. But, yeah, we've had some crazy times out there. So you're mainly into go-karting? Is that what you
A lot of go-kart talk.
Yeah.
It's just cheaper. It's just cheaper than a full-blown car.
Well, it seems to be a full turnaround. My dad and my brother started racing go-karts.
When you were a kid?
When I was younger. And back then, they used to like jump in and just push start them. They didn't have electric starts and stuff like we do now. And just when I got old enough to race the go-karts, they started racing stock cars. So I was always into it. Dan Gurney was my hero, road racing.
Yeah,
I followed him, and I joined the Dan Gurney Eagle fan club and all the stuff.
Guess what I just bought the other day?
Oh, no.
And oh, I might sell it to you for a really good price.
Make it a fundraiser deal.
Dan Gurney for president bumper sticker. There Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have one?
No.
I got one. It is right on the wall, right in front of me. I can't. I look at that every day. Ooh, now I got a weak spot. Yeah, it would have to be a charity event because that's what you did to me. So we're talking McCullough. 101s, 91s.
West Bends, McCullough.
Bends.
And I never got a chance to run them. But then after I was racing at Cone Speedway for a year, there was a, I don't even remember the guy's name, but his son was racing and I was his hero. And so he let me come out and run the four cycle class at Open Hamul.
And that's the track I was thinking
of. I guess I go and tell people now, but there was a girl named Helen Tips. I think she beat me, but I ended up second.
We can talk about it now.
I can talk about it now.
Yeah.
It's just now, it's just like affordability. I sold my car, getting ready to retire here pretty soon. And so go-karts are just
easy
like,
to maintain.
Yeah, easy to maintain.
Easy to transport.
I was out of Cajon Speedway. Buddy of mine was going, I was a sportsman car. And he was getting ready to go out and do some hot laps and tuning. He had the diff part. He had the wheels off. He's doing all this stuff. And I says, well, I got to go too. I got to get ready for my heat. And he goes, oh, what are you doing? I said, I race carts. He says, well, what are you going to do now? I said, I got to go get it ready. I got to put air in the tires. I got to put some oil in the clutch. What else I got to do? Oh, yeah, I got to make sure the air is staggered. I said, so that's it. So I'll see. Yeah, and he's got the whole car apart. And he has to put it all back together. But no. If you love that need for speed and you like to drive, karting is by far the way to go. I'm a road course guy. That's my favorite. Did you ever run at Imago?
Yes. Loved it.
I love that.
You can
that
tell
track.
By the grin.
Oh, it's because it's very technical. That could be another show just in itself.
Well, JH Motorsports is supposed to be here next week, Josh.
I can't wait. Two go-kart guys in a row, you're killing me.
So his main focus is running guys at Fontana in the parking lot. They call it Auto Club.
Yeah.
There's a track called Apex.
Right.
Next door to Paris.
Right.
And then there's Adams Racetrack, which has been around a long
time.
And
I have been trying to get those people to either call in, and it's like pulling teeth.
I'll work on that for you.
That's the only racetrack that put their kids through college via cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Am I right?
And it was real interesting this weekend. I seen where on a Facebook post, which we wouldn't have caught that on years ago, that John Borneman's, I guess it must be his granddaughter, finished fifth in a race. And the guys from Adams had Haley Deegan on the line talking to her Facebook, FaceTiming with her as one of the prizes for getting in the top five. Oh, so it was really interesting.
Because we've had Deegan on the show and. That is so cool. And that's the other one I want to get into here is Borneman.
We can work on that.
That'll be a hoot. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Racer Radio. I think we got our guest on the line from Paris Auto Speedway right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. And did you pick that song?
Me? No.
Yeah, a little bubbly over there.
Franklin did.
I love this song.
I knew it. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Let me tell you, fast half-mile clay track you need to go up. Schedule's up. Start marking your calendar. We're going to do everything humanly possible if we have to make them all. A peaceful protest to go racing. We're going to make it happen. Hey, we got Alex Gregorius on the line. Hey, Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Dave. How are you?
Good. Well, I just want to let you know, I've got an old Cajon Speedway legend, Ron Esau.
Oh, man.
Do you know Ronnie?
What do you, What are you bringing Rag in for me, like me, for when you got Ron Esau on the show, man? I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of stories about Ron Esau when I was a kid, you know, El Cajon and Saga Speedway, following that guy around. Uh-huh. And, you know, we were pretty heavily involved with sprint cars, but Ron Esau was definitely one of my heroes. Ron, I hope you're still there, but man, I'll tell you what.
What? He's grinning from ear to ear.
That's nice of you.
I tell you what, you know, you know, having Southern California back in the day was the place to be.
Yeah.
And not only for sportsman racing, but for, you know, what would be now the what do you call them, the modifieds and stuff. But, you know, back then, El Cajon, Saugus, and even the guys that would run over to Ascot and Orange Show Speedway, mm-hmm. it was a great time back when Ron was running to be running stock cars, that's for sure.
Well, and he got to really touch a lot of different divisions that the general public here in San Diego knew nothing about. I'm definitely going to bring him back on another hour, and we're going to dedicate an hour to Ron and get some of the other drivers in. But he's doing kind of like what you're doing. You know, he's out of stock car. He's into go-karts, and you're into lightning sprints. You got out of the big cars, and now you're in. Well, you know, and it's not a negative until you've got strapped on a lightning sprint.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, they're still fast and fun.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those, you know, I'd been away from racing. I quit racing sprint cars in 2001 and really stayed away from it for the most part until about 2012 when my buddy Toby Sampson and Dan Hilberg were talking about these little cars they were running, and I go to Paris Auto Speedway and watch them. I'm like, yeah, they're pretty cool. And next thing I know, Toby's like, hey, come hop in one of these. Like, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. Well, never got a chance to drive that one, but then Dan Hilberg says, hey, you know what? I got a spare car. Why don't you come out and run it? Fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fell in love with the things. You know, they're cost effective. They're cheap to run. You know, you literally grenade a motor. You go on eBay and get one for $1,000 or $1,500 and throw it in the car and go run it. And competitiveness with this class right now is just off the hook. I mean, we were just talking earlier today. One of the guys said, you know, you do realize that you guys qualified second quick against USAC National Midgets at Bakersfield, right? Well, whoa. We had four cars that would have been in the top five. And Aiden Lang went out there and qualified second quick by, I think it was 3/1000ths of a second. You know, against those lap times. Mm-hmm. So these things are no joke. They're fast. And, you know, you guys run them down there in Verona, and SWLS guys run them. And you know how fast they are. I mean, they're just amazingly fun to drive too. But, you know, we've been working really hard to get our schedule. You know, 2020, we didn't get to race very much.
Right.
And it gave us a lot of time to work, you know. So we put together a pretty brutal schedule this year.
That's what I've seen.
It's like 20 races or something?
Well, yeah, I hope they're ready to race because I after not racing at all last year, we're going to make up for it.
Well, it's funny because I remember the first time you guys came to Verona. I don't know if you came down to KUSI TV, but, you know, I'm constantly trying to get people's butts in the seat of that track. So I brought some of the lightning sprints in, and Barona told me that was the largest attendance they'd ever had by once everybody knew that the lightning sprints were coming, because it is a show. I mean, like you said, wicked. Ron, you ever been in a lightning sprint?
No, I don't know if I want to, because same thing, I might end up owning one.
Yeah, see, it's not that it scares him. It's just that, and the wife's over there. There's no more room. There's no more room.
Give up two.
But they don't take up a lot of place. You just take the wing off, right, and put that up in the attic.
Yeah, pretty much. You just stack them up like you do everything else in your garage. You know,
that's so funny.
Just find room.
Yeah, it's so funny. But you know, again, it's
they
like
are an absolute blast.
But it's like karting. You know, it's a ton of fun. He's and the reason he's saying that, because how many carts you have now?
Three.
Well, yeah. I mean, there might be a couple others in the garage.
Oh, three that we know about.
That belong to other people. I know. Yeah, I know. I have to Caden this morning. He had a Tony cart. You know, that's his cart.
Uh-huh.
And I recognize it just from the color, not, and I says, oh, wow, you got a Tony cart. He says, well, yeah, it's written right there.
Oh, jeez.
I go, he's 7 years old, busting my chops.
You can go buy two brand new 80cc shifters, one brand new 80cc shifter, and you can buy two used lightning sprints and go out and for the same money.
Wow.
Why is that? How is that? Why has that car become so affordable? Usually it's the other way around.
It's just, you know, the cool thing about it is that most of the off-the-shelf products, we've gotten to a point now to where basically these things are midgets with motorcycle engines in them.
Yeah.
And the affordability of the car is the fact that it just doesn't wear things out. You know, the things, even though they're pulling, you know, 850, 900 pounds more than they're worth of design for, we just don't beat the cars up. Mm-hmm. You know, with the wings, you're constantly under a load, so you're not loading and unloading things and wearing them out faster. And they just become a very affordable class. And tires, you don't have to go buy brand new tires every race. Yeah. You know, you can run the same right rear two or three races if the tracks aren't totally dried out.
Right.
It just keeps the expense down. But they've really become a very competitive class. I mean, it's just pretty amazing how many former sprint car drivers and midget drivers we have racing with us now. You know, you guys all know Bobby McNovich. You know, he's got a ton of experience. You got, you know, Jeff Dyer and got Aiden Lang, and you got all these kids coming up from quarter midgets that are doing it. And the competitiveness now, I mean, we'll cover the field qualifying times in about a second and a quarter, to where before it was about a 2 to 3 second split.
Jeez.
And now we're competitive enough now to where there's about 10 to 12 cars on a regular that are very capable of winning a race every week.
Wow. How's the girl count? Are you starting to see girls going into that division?
We've starting to get more interest up north, BCRA. There's a couple girls that run up there. We had one of our favorite girls down here, Andrews, that raced with us for a few years, mm-hmm. and then she moved on to sprint cars and then actually moved back east. It's always open to have them, absolutely, and we encourage it. We're trying to get, and the younger girls coming out of quarter midgets and stuff like that are really starting to express some interest now. Yeah. We absolutely encourage it, though.
Well, like I said, anytime you'd like to come to KUSI TV to promote your sport, you know, especially if there's no racing going on, and I mean that's the best time to do it. I am more than happy to oblige. All you got to do is just get my email from Scott. Send me an email and we'll hook you up sometime you're down. And I'm not bragging, but I'm the only one doing cars and motorsports and hot rods on TV. And we're the number one watch morning show, I think, because of it. So, and it usually bumps your attendance wherever you're going by 30-40%. Or you can ask anybody
We got races all over the state at this point. Yeah. We've got things everywhere. We've got, with the 20 race season, we got 6 races at Bakersfield, 5 at Ventura, 4 at Santa Maria, 2 at Merced. And then we have the 3-day Hangtown 100 up north at Placerville Speedway, which is a 3-day non-wing event. And in between there, we have other races going on. You know, Santa Maria, we have the King of the Wing, the NARC races that we're also going to be involved with. That's our wing madness races. And then we also have 8 televised races through Flow Racing.
Yeah.
That we're going to have this year, working with USAC, and also along with those, we're going to have the Hangtown, which is also televised through Flow Racing. So it's going to be a fantastic year. We're just praying we can get all the races in.
Oh, you will. Brittany, you had a question.
I was wondering when and where we should be looking for the first race.
The first race is going to be March 13th at Bakersfield Speedway.
Okay. Do you guys have a website for your division?
We do. It's www.racecls.com. And on Facebook, you can look up California Lightning Sprints.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. We'll definitely keep people abreast as to what's going. And, you know, at any time, like I say, you can go through Scott, or you can, once you give me my email, I'll give you your own segment, because we got another 15-minute segment that we just kind of leave open for guys like Ron Esau, who won't stop talking. So, you know, we had to, you know.
I tell you, I could spend the rest of this time talking about Ron and talking to Ron. I mean, geez. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching him in the Sportsman cars and Saugus. And as a matter of fact, there is one story I want to tell you.
Sure.
We're down at El Cajon one night. And it was raining early in the day. And I remember it was either practice or qualifying. Ron and somebody else got together, and I can't remember who it was, got together, and they damaged the cars pretty bad. So Ron ended up having to start toward the back of the main event. And we had, I think I was probably, I don't even want to tell you how old I was, but I think I had two quarters in my pocket. And I made a bet with a guy down sitting in turn one. And I told him, I said, I'll bet you a quarter that Ron Esau will end up in the top five by the time this is over. And the guy looks at me and he goes, he's starting second to last. And I'm like, all right, 50 cents then. And he says, all right, fine, you're on. Well, next thing I know, half of turn one got involved in the bet. Well, you finished fifth on the last lap as the checkered fell. And I won $22.
Oh.
Whoa.
I'll never forget that I won $22 off Ron Esau.
And you notice, Ron, he didn't run down into the pits to give you your cut?
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually I wanted to buy a hat, but he didn't have any more.
Oh,
that's right. You still got your old hats now?
Oh, no.
You got rid of all that?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing you should have never done is got rid of all your stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But don't we all that?
Rod Means, I used to drive for Rod Means at El Capo Oil and turned into Trick Enterprise. And they had a deal one time where I'm riding with Ron Esau. So I had some of those bumper stickers left and I threw them all away. And then everyone started asking me, why don't you have them? I'm like, I threw all that stuff away.
You could have sold all that stuff. Ron's a big Dan Gurney fan. And I told him I just bought a bumper sticker. Back in the day, that used to be Dan Gurney for president. I don't know how old you are, but.
Oh, yep. Nope. I actually have one of those stuck on one of my toolboxes.
Ah, see, now there's two of us. Yeah, but see, mine, I can sell to Ron. Yours, it's stuck on a toolbox. When we only read.
Yeah, but the caveat to that is that Dan gave me that one himself.
Ah.
Well, I was going to go meet Dan Gurney for the first time, and I was helping a guy out of Alpine, and they were racing out here at Del Mar, one of the road races deal here, and Willie T. Ribbs was driving for Dan Gurney, and the two of those crashed, and a guy wanted to go fight over there Dan Gurney, so I stayed completely away because I didn't want to get embarrassed, and I never really got a chance to meet Dan.
So
that was going to be a real good opportunity, and I was wearing the wrong uniform.
Yeah, that uniform thing can get you into trouble. Yeah. Well, Alex, this has been an absolute blast. I appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to give us a call. So give Scott a call. Get my email. Let's hook up. I'll help you out with some more radio just on your sport in itself. It'll be good to pass out for advertising and give people an idea of what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate all you guys supporting any racing that's going on in Southern California, but I definitely do appreciate everybody supporting California Lightning Sprints.
All right, buddy. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road. Say goodbye, Ron.
Thank you very much. You guys take care.
Take
right.
care.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Why? Because we have to pay our bills. Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Alright, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
You know, if this day is the beginning of 2021 for me,
it's pretty good.
I am in freaking heaven, dude. This has been the best day for radio ever.
Well, that's good. It's beautiful outside, too,
and
by the way.
Unless we're racing, it ain't that beautiful. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. No, it's not. What am I doing? Certified Car Clinic.
You got it.
Certified Car Clinic out there in Woodside Avenue. If you got a race car, street car, dirt car, drag car, they got an in-house dyno. They love horsepower. CertifiedCarCare.net. And they also deal with hose specialties, which are those trick lines that you have for water and oil that you always poke holes in your finger when you're trying to braid them. Let them do it. They're the best. All right. Hey, Brittany, who have you got as our special guest?
So check this out, Dave and listeners. We have the son of Fireball Fuller, the founder of the Idaho Historical Racing Society, and he is also the director of the recently released documentary called Circle Track Burners. Please welcome Stan Fuller calling us from Idaho.
Hey, Stan, how's it going, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Totally our pleasure. Yes. We've been having a great day. We've had some down here locally. I don't know if you've ever heard of a racetrack called Cajon Speedway.
I have. I was listening to the last segment, and my brother and I were greatly involved in mini sprint racing. That's what it sounds like you were talking about.
Yeah, we absolutely were. So tell us about your historical racing society. You don't hear many states, towns talking about a racing society. Tell us what you got up there.
Well, just to introduce myself real quick, my dad drove for 28 seasons at the local quarter mile oval, so racing's in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And after I gave it a shot, he brought me up in go-karts, me and my brother, and then I drove stock cars in the mid-70s, and once we started having a family, I realized I didn't have the sponsorship or the money to keep going, so.
Yeah.
After we got the kids all raised, my love turned back to preserving the history of racing here in Idaho. And in 1999, I hooked up with a fellow that had the same vision that I did. And the great thing about my partner is he has a print shop. So we started talking out everyone to bring in their scrapbooks, and he could copy them, and then we could give them back to originals. And I think we got about 50 albums marked by year in the last 20 years. So that's kind of how the Idaho Historical Racing Society got going. And that's, you know, once Facebook came along in 2009, we created the page, and I think we got 4,200 followers in 19 different countries. And,
wow.
You know, it's my passion, and I get to receive so much photos and artifacts, and we filled up the back room of my friend's business in the last 20 years, and we're running out of room, and he's in his late 60s like myself, and we got to figure out what to do with this all this stuff once we both retire.
That's a challenge. It's funny you should say that, because I'm way older than you, and I've had collections of every kind of car book imaginable. Everything from motorsports to car craft to hot rod. Here in San Diego, we have the San Diego Automotive Museum, and they have the largest library on the West Coast when it comes to automotive information. So you might try to find something up in your neck of the woods, and push come to shove, the Peterson Museum down in L.A. has a massive library as well. But whatever you do, just don't let that stuff go away, because you got to hang on to it, because, you know, especially grassroots racing. You know, we've got NASCAR, we got F1, we've got CART and Indy and all that. We've got all that. We just don't have a lot of those local tracks that really spawned the racing that we all enjoy today.
I hear you, and we're definitely going to take care of all this artifacts that we've collected. And if you go to my Facebook page, the Idaho Historical Racing Society, you can give yourself a couple hours, because I've posted over 5,000 photos.
Wow.
And once you get into the albums, you'll be hooked. And like I said, give yourself a bunch of time.
For sure. You know, that's how I found Stan, Dave. It was the Facebook
surfing page.
No.
Were you surfing?
I just came across the Facebook page with this historical society. He posts regularly, like a lot of good news. And that's how I came across the documentary. Tell us about the documentary, and please tell me there's something about Fireball Fuller in there, because that story is a hoot.
Well, there is. We interviewed 20 people for this documentary, but basically it's been in my mind for the last 20 years, and a lot of good things happened this summer. Actually, the pandemic worked in my favor,
right?
Because I teamed up with I-10 TV, and they're the film production crew that I teamed up with to make this first ever documentary on Idaho racing. And in a normal year, they would have been on the road,
right,
following King of the Wing, filming, broadcasting, and so forth. So because they were, a lot of those races were canceled, they were just doing whatever they could in the Boise Valley, which there's still a lot of racing going on here. We've got 3 or 4 dirt tracks and the Meridian Speedway, the main track, the pavement track that, by the way, is going to be starting their 70th year in a row. They opened in 1951. But so the pandemic worked in my favor, so I got to meet John and Valerie Dominick, who are the production crew for I-10 TV, and you want to like their Facebook page. That's Everything Racing in Idaho. And I tell people it took 4 months to put together, but it was been 20 years in my mind. And, you know, we just got a little bit for everyone. We got every generation covered as far as interviews with drivers. We got from a 14-year-old up to a 90-year-old veteran that was at the Speedway in 51 when it first opened, the local Meridian Speedway. And, you know, we got some young guns. We got about 5 young talents that we interviewed. You've heard of soccer moms, so we got a couple of racing moms. And we got a couple journalists that have covered the races off and on over the years. We got a lot of neat Evel Knievel stories because one of our journalists rubbed shoulders with Evel at the Snake River Canyon jump back in when that happened. And then he became a journalist for the local paper here in Boise. And we got a couple surprises in there. We got a push truck couple that have been doing it for over 50 years. So we got a little bit of everything for everybody.
See, and that story you just told is all over the United States because every small track has got, you know, because the majority of the people that did that stuff were volunteers. You know, they weren't paid employees. So when it seems like when you get a volunteer, the storylines are even better.
Yeah. Because they're doing it for the passion of it.
Right.
Yeah. How does someone sorry.
Well, when I mention Idaho to people, they think of potatoes. And like you folks down there, that you might think of Boise State, your arch rival, the San Diego State, and our blue turf up here.
Yeah, I think so potatoes.
Well, we're trying to tell people that Idaho is more than just potatoes. It's oval track racing. And it's popular. So, I mean, the local track, 70 years in a row, they get 3,000 to 4,000 people on a given Saturday night.
Wow. Well, I got to admit, when Brittany told me that who you were, and I went, Idaho? Do they have racing in Idaho?
Yes, they have racing in Idaho.
Well, I didn't know, even though I've been doing a motorsports show for almost 30 years, and this is the first time I've ever talked to anybody from Idaho. And I'm thrilled.
I think a lot of people can relate to the documentary as well. How do people find this documentary, Stan?
They go to my Idaho Historical Racing Society Facebook page. It's all over my page. You can't miss it. And you can also find it on my production crew, I-10 TV there.
All right, buddy.
Page.
All right, we'll send you this show. Thank you very much. Stay in touch with Brittany, and we'll get you back on down the road.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're done for the Racer Radio Show on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.